This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Hey, Mike Valeni here, host of Cash the Ticket alongside my partner, Jim Costa. It's really simple. Are you tired of podcasts claiming they're a bunch of pro bettors when they live in their mommy's basement? Are you tired of podcasts that claim they hit 80% of the games when really they just lose like most of us? Then Cash the Ticket's the spot for you. We're real. We're transparent. We're having a hell of a good time with it. And we sit there and we're there for the sweat with you guys. We're just trying to figure it out just like you. Follow and listen to Cash the Ticket on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Final hour of Ben and Woods.
Paulie in this week. Well, he's always in, but Paulie's stepping up his game as Woods continues his vacation. I think we mentioned it last week, and Mike Schilt gave him a little bit of a hard time. He's going to miss this one right down the pennant race here. Post-trade deadline, all the activity that happened. And
hey, no excitement this week, though. At least
exactly.
He didn't miss anything fun.
Woods has missed all the fun of sweeping the Dodgers two games, and it is time right now for our Manager's Report with Mike Schilt, brought to you by San Diego County Credit Union. It's not big bank banking. It is better. Good morning, Mike. How are you?
I'm doing well. Yourself?
I'm good. Now, I know you're busy, obviously. You've got things to worry about, but there's been some off days, and you got some travel. Have you watched any of the Olympics yet? And if so, do you have a favorite event?
Wow, you kind of caught me on that one.
Yeah.
Watched a very little of the Olympics last night. Having dinner. Loved the Olympics. Loved the dedication, regardless of sport. You know, you're talking about some real dedication. A lot of those athletes aren't in monetized sports. They do it for the absolute love and passion of their sports. And I just love the purity of it, the competition of it. Enjoyed watching the gymnastics last night. Favorite Summer Olympic? It's hard to say, really. I just enjoy the competition of all of it.
There's no wrong answer. Although Paulie just said, ask him about, because they're talking about doing baseball at the 2028 games, maybe with Major League Baseball players. Now, that would be a logistical nightmare, especially for a Major League Baseball manager taking, 2 weeks off in the middle of the season, extending the All-Star break. Is that something you'd want to see?
Two things. I want to see it, yes. I love the game being represented internationally and the best players competing internationally. I love the WBC. I think it's a fantastic venue. The timing just doesn't make sense for it in our sport. So I don't see logistically how it works out from a competitive standpoint and a health standpoint.
All right, so the trade deadline, and AJ's always been very active and, of course, made some big deals, really bolstered the bullpen. Give me your thoughts on the moves, the acquisition of, obviously, Tanner Scott, Jason Adam. We saw him in the first game. We saw Hoeing. You got him in as well already, incorporating some of the new guys into your team.
Yeah, I mean, AJ, he did a great job of, bolstering that bullpen. And Perez is a nice addition. We'll see him tomorrow night to the rotation. Fills a need there. And, we got two really, really solid, capable, experienced back-end guys in Scott and Adam. And, Adam was really good. Got him an inning the other night. And very efficient with what he was able to do. And Hoeing came in and threw strikes. And our reports of him are very positive, too. So, definitely nice additions to the club. We're excited to have him.
I'm curious because you said, obviously, you can't be quite as aggressive as you were the first day in terms of going to the bullpen and like the fifth inning every single day, but you are going to be able to be a little more aggressive with more options down there. In some ways, nothing really changes. I know how you kind of talk about having lanes for each of your pitcher and matchups that you like. I'd imagine you're simply going to have more matchups that you like and you'll set them up on a kind of a day-to-day basis.
Yeah, I mean, that's how bullpens work. As far as your aggressive comment, I mean, yeah, appropriately, there's still eight guys down there that need to be taken care of and pitch and be rested and, create opportunities for them in the right spots. But again, it can't be just aggression for the sake of aggression because it doesn't work for those guys that pitch every day.
Did work out really well, though, on Tuesday. What a fun game that was. And you've talked about all year the lack of quit. And I don't see baseball players quitting that often. I can't imagine you've seen it much in your career. But there's a difference between not quitting and actually, you know, fighting all the way to the end and coming back and pulling out some of the games like you did. Where do you kind of see that line between guys who are clearly given their all and then that extra that it takes to actually pull off a comeback like you guys did against the Dodgers?
I think it's just really about guys. It's a longer conversation than this. It's a tough question. You're bringing it today, my man.
I ask the tough ones. You know me. But wait until the ones I still have in store for you.
I can't wait, man. It's a deeper answer to the question. I mean, no player's going to really quit. So that part is fair. It's a degree of tenacity consistently in a, you know, almost daily, highly competitive environment. And that's the real challenge. And that becomes the subhuman part of really big league players, being able to bring that mentally and physically every day over the course of, you know, in some cases, 162 games. And we got a lot of guys that love to play, that are regulars, that love that competition, that bring it. But it really does get to be a little bit more about the dedication, the heart, and the ability to mentally bring it every day as much as the physical ability. That's really, quite honestly, a big separator for players and teams at this level.
Talking to Padres manager Mike Schilt this morning, the manager's report. Mike, we have heard here in San Diego in particular over the years, all the time, we just haven't played our best baseball yet. We have heard it from manager after manager after manager, season after season after season. You guys have played extremely well since the All-Star break. That road trip was just really, really impressive. Is this team right now playing its best baseball, or is there possibly more in store?
It's playing its most consistent baseball in all variables. You know, it's really, I've said this all year, you know, the game can be hard. You try to make it as simple as possible. Tony always said that, and it's true. You know, it's just about the consistency of all the different parts of the team working together. And, that's what we have. You know, we've been able to get really, really good starting pitching. You know, it starts there. You mentioned about the aggression of the bullpen. That aggression is allowed through, you know, days off or starters being able to go deep. That's a recipe that always exists over the course of a longer season. But the starting pitching has been really good. Bullpen, as you mentioned, been bolstered and been very effective. The offense being able to execute. We've really had relentless at-bats and been able to score runs and run the bases well, and our defense has been clean. So when that happens together, you're going to get your best opportunity to shake hands, which is what we expect to do and have done.
All right, I know you're going to downplay this because you know it's all about your players and you're going to give them the credit, and they absolutely deserve the credit. But I thought the 10th inning on Tuesday was maybe like your finest moment of the season of managing, and how you pulled the strings in that inning leading to the eventual pinch hitting of Jake Cronenworth. You don't see a pinch hitter come in for a number three guy that often, but it worked out perfectly with Donovan Solano. The bunt from Arraez to set it all up. Can you just kind of take me through, like, your thinking as you're going into an inning like that and how it may unfold?
Yeah, I mean, yeah, the players execute, man. You just do the best you can to put them in those spots. You know, I mean, first of all, Suarez did a great job in the top of the 10th. You know, 1-2-3, leave the guy stranded at second base to put us in a really good spot. Not sure what they're going to do. They got a lot, you know, it's a tough situation, you know, once you're starting the bottom half of the inning and, you know, you got the guy on second base. They got Vessi, the lefty, on the mound, and they pitched around Higgy. I give Higgy a lot of credit. You know, he recognized what they were doing and wasn't going to chase to try to be the hero. Was just going to take what the game gave him, and the game was telling him that they weren't going to pitch to him. And so he took his walk, and then, you know, Louis got the bunt down, which puts them, you know, putting Profar on because they're not going to pitch to Pro.
And you knew that. You knew they would do that.
Yeah, that's the double-edged sword of the decision. And they're probably not going to really pitch to him anyway, quite frankly. Even with if the base is open, if something doesn't happen with the rise. But Vesey is a ground ball guy against lefties, and so you move him over. They do what they do with Pro, and then Solana is really good taking big at bats. Definitely good against lefties, and it just made sense.
Yeah, dodge the double play possibility with the lefty ground ball matchup with the rise. Get the right hander up, and maybe even catch the Dodgers a little off guard as they didn't have their righty ready. Well, great job there. Now the Rockies are coming to town. Obviously, a team that you've had some trouble with earlier this season. Is that at all part of the equation as you get ready for this series? Revenge or anything, you're just trying to win every game. But is there anything you can learn from those games earlier this season against Colorado?
It gets back to how we execute earlier. Same answer. I don't want to be a broken record, but, our starting pitchers need to go deeper in games. And, we need to be able to take advantage of our opportunities offensively and play clean, and our bullpen needs to be able to, bring it home. So we do those things. You can insert the opponent. It's going to be the same basic how it works.
That's fair. That's absolutely fair. Talking to Mike Shildt, and this is one I have to ask just to do my job. Got Randy Vasquez scheduled for tonight, and I saw Martin Perez, as you mentioned, tomorrow. Team says TBA for Sunday. Is there anything we need to know? Michael King hasn't pitched since last Saturday. He's looked fantastic. Are you trying to rest him up? Is there any concerns? Any insight you can kind of shed on the Sunday pitching decision here?
Yeah, that's something I usually announce or we talk about in our media session before the game.
Yeah. So. Okay. Well, I told you he wasn't going to answer that one, but I had to ask it. So there. Asked.
Yeah. No, it's
and
fair
not,
to ask. It's fair.
Asked and not answered. I know people are just kind of curious, and there's a lot of explanations for it. I'm not trying to create a panic.
I don't want any panics either. Effectively, if you really must know, Michael's still dealing with the comebacker, and he's a little sore from the comebacker he took in his last start, and he needs a couple extra days.
Didn't mean to, put you under the hot lights and give you the third degree there, Mike, but I totally understand that. That makes a lot of sense, and I'm sure that the Padres fans were listening and going, okay, that makes a lot of sense right now. As for the other guys, Joe Musgrove, we heard, is going to be throwing again on Sunday is the plan, and things are going well with him. How about Toddy? Just anything you can share about those guys and their comeback?
Joe's going to get a rehab assignment yet to be determined on Sunday at one of the affiliates. Toddy's still in a good place recovering, but not in a place where is cleared to ramp up baseball activity yet, but is hitting in the cage, looks good, feels good, is doing some low-impact things that allows him to test and see where he's at, and then kind of take it from there. But we don't have anything definitive on Toddy at the moment, but Joe's trending in a really good place and get his rehab assignment on Sunday.
And before you go, I want to bring it up because it's so important. I don't want to downplay getting a guy like Xander back and what he's been doing lately. Just the impact that he's had, not just on the field. Obviously, he's hitting like crazy right now, but just getting his experience and leadership back on a day-to-day basis. What's that meant for your team lately?
It's huge. Those guys were signed for a multitude of reasons. One of the primary ones, obviously, he's a really good player. So having him back in there in the middle of the lineup and being impactful, which he's been a real, real big part of our lineup over the last little bit before the All-Star break when he came back, but definitely since the post, break. And, so that part's been great. But just the fact that this is a guy that, has an understanding of what it takes to win. He's won two world championships with his prior club, and, just a really good influence of what that looks like, and models it very well, and just a real pro. So, it's an asset to have him back on the club for sure.
Well, I just want to thank you. I know you were going to save that for, like Dennis Lynn and AJ Cassavale later today in your scrum, but shared it with our listeners. They do really appreciate it. I see that in our chat right now. They're going, thanks for the info. Makes perfect sense. And we do appreciate you, Skip. And we're in your corner and we're cheering for you this weekend against the Colorado Rockies. Keep up the good work, man. And we'll talk to you next Friday.
All right, guys. Y'all have a great day.
There he is, Mike Schilt. Had to, you know, pull out his fingernails and give him the hose man. I mean, just got it out of him.
Oh man, when's the next time you plan on going down there? Because he's gonna
never. I just don't go down anymore. Ouch. I cannot face the man in person anymore. It's just like he just withering glare, and I can't even take Tony Gwynn Jr.'s rolled eyes. Can you imagine how quickly I'd melt when Mike Schilt gives me that same eye roll when he sees me? My goodness gracious.
We're going to be out at spring training next February or March, and Schilt's going to come over for an interview, and Ben's just going to be like, hello, Mike Schilt, how are you?
I hope the tier ones appreciate how hard that is for me. I am a nice guy. I do not like making other people uncomfortable.
Woods lives for it.
I don't like it, but I feel like it's my job. Sometimes I have to do it. I don't want him to feel uncomfortable. I really am not. I'm cheering for him. I like him. I think he's smart. I think he's a good manager. He's a good guy. But sometimes he doesn't want to answer my questions, and I have to ask them, and it's not a comfortable thing to do every Friday morning. So I hope everyone appreciates.
Oh man.
Michael King, absolutely understandable. And we forget because he took the liner in the first inning, and then he went and pitched great after that. So you think, oh, well, it's no big deal. And then he started again.
Of course.
But of course, he's probably got a big old knot type bruise thing going on. So you want to just be careful with what they're doing with him. And, you know, maybe he'll start. Maybe they want to give him a couple more days. But certainly better than anything with the arm or, like, you know, he's hitting a little bit of fatigue or something. No, guy got nailed by 113-mile-an-hour line drive in the leg, and it doesn't feel great, people, which was pretty much the answer, politely, that Mike Schilt gave us about why he's got a TBA on Sunday instead of one of the guys who's been one of the best pitchers in the National League behind, like, Dylan Cease in over the last couple of months. Really has been. All right. Well, there we go. Let's take a time out.
You okay?
We can react to that.
Hey,
if you want to join us, we can take some phone calls. 833-288-0973. I mean, Woodsy makes me feel uncomfortable.
Just take a deep breath.
Mike Schilt makes me feel uncomfortable. But we get through it. We do. And we do it for you. The Tier 1s and the Padres fans out there. On San Diego's number one sports station, Kelly's got some traffic here on 97.3 The Fan.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Hey, Mike Valeni here, host of Cash the Ticket alongside my partner, Jim Costa. It's really simple. Are you tired of podcasts claiming they're a bunch of pro bettors when they live in their mommy's basement? Are you tired of podcasts that claim they hit 80% of the games when really they just lose like most of us? Then Cash the Ticket's the spot for you. We're real. We're transparent. We're having a hell of a good time with it. And we sit there and we're there for the sweat with you guys. We're just trying to figure it out just like you. Follow and listen to Cash the Ticket on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, just to show no ill feelings, because I want Mike Schilt's team to do well, I'm going to give the Rally Roach a little kiss, even though Paulie's already kissed it and didn't wash it. But here, keep it safe, because we may need this for the rest of the season.
Oh, yeah.
If the Rally Roach is still a thing by the time we get to October, we'll know that we've got something special on our hands. So, Rally Roach back in play this weekend for your San Diego Padres. And if you missed it, our thanks again to the forthcoming Mike Schilt, who under the third degree did admit that Michael King is still dealing with the after effects of that comeback or that line drive he took. A little sore, and that's why the team is still waiting on a decision about Sunday's starter, TBA at this point. But he didn't sound overly concerned and said he probably was going to share it to everyone later in the scrum before the game. But I said, you know what, we're tight. We're close. You can share it with just us and the
Every
tier
once
ones.
In a while.
If you want us to keep it quiet for a few
it's
hours,
okay.
We're not. We're going to tweet it out all over the place and make sure everybody in San Diego knows. I mean, how mad are Kevin Acey and Dennis Lynn and AJ Cassavall right now that they didn't get to tweet that out first this afternoon, that we actually get to do it this morning here on the Ben and Woods program? That's the value of a relationship right there.
You did a very good job, Schilt. I'm very proud of you. I know that was not easy.
All right. You want to go out to the phone lines a little bit? 833-288. Not really. All right. Well,
go for it, though.
All right. Let's see. We got Dean on the line. 833-288-0973. Good morning, Dean. How are you? Maybe this isn't Dean. Who's on the air? Who's this? You're there. I hear you. Going once. Going twice. Sold. You're probably right, Paulie. I shouldn't have gone to the phone lines. It's never a good idea. It's Friday, though. It's been a long week. My voice is actually starting to get a little bit scratchy just from talking too much. I would say, who does more talking between me and Woods, would you say, over the course of a show?
I just can't believe that happened.
What?
Oh, just that call. Right, who does more talking?
Yeah. Who would you say does more talking over the course of a program? That's just like literally... Like, makes more noises come out during the 4 hours of our show.
I really don't know. I would say it's a pretty even split.
I would say that on a normal day when the three of us are here, it's about 50% Woods, 40% me, and 10% you.
I think that's fair.
Does that sound about right?
I'm thinking of it. I was thinking of it in like a segment, like a 15-minute segment. You talk most... In the first couple of minutes, kind of coming back from commercial break, setting up the segment, whatever we're about to talk about.
Sure.
And on the back end of wrapping it up, teasing the next segment, throwing to traffic.
Yeah.
And it's a lot more Woods
that's true.
In the middle.
But Woods, when he talks, when he's got something going, he gets ahead of steam.
Yeah.
I just let him go. There's no reason to interrupt Woods when he's on a good train of thought. And sometimes he'll go for 2 or 3 minutes straight.
Right.
So. I don't know what the exact breakdown is, but I do feel like now when it's the two of us, it's more like obviously 70-30%. You're talking like 30, you know, three times more than you normally do.
Yeah.
But I'm like talking twice as much as I normally do. So we're getting to Friday here, and I could actually feel the effects of Woods not being here over the last few days, just physically of him, his non-presence this week. In what that feels like. Aren't you a little more tired than normal?
Oh, I'm exhausted.
This week? Yeah. For someone who just sits here for 4 hours, and it doesn't look like you would never think that this is a physically demanding job. And compared to, you know, like logger or something, obviously it isn't. You'd be surprised at how tiring, though, 4 hours of radio can be, especially on, you know, on a week like this when Woods isn't here. And I'm not looking for sympathy.
A four-hour show feels like an eight-hour day.
But it does feel like it feels like a full day.
Yeah. Roland in the chat says, Ben talks more efficiently, Woods just talks more.
That's fair. I think that's fair, which is fine. That's just his personal style, and that's how he sounds and how I sound. That's why I go into the phones, though. I'm hoping someone else can talk
and give us both
a break. Matt, talk for a few seconds just so I can take a break and my voice can be spared.
So I just got back in my truck, and I missed the big breaking news. What was it?
It's not breaking. It's Michael King. It took a comebacker. We all saw it. He took a 113-mile-an-hour line drive. He's pitched twice since then, but he's still got a little soreness, and they just didn't want to commit entirely to him starting on Sunday yet. It was a pretty non-headline-y headline that made a lot of sense when Mike Schilt said it. It's just the way baseball teams work. When they get so mysterious and like they don't want to say, we then speculate and imagine the worst in our heads and like, oh my goodness, are they putting him on the injured list? What's going on? Is there elbow trouble? We've had him, I mean, he's already had Tommy John surgery in our mind. And then when the reality comes out and they say, yeah, you remember that time he got hit like a week and a half ago by 113-mile-an-hour line drive? Big shocker, that still hurts a little bit. So we're just going to keep an eye on him before the next start. It's really a big nothing, but. Obviously, we're curious about what's going on, so we ask the question, right? I mean, it's totally fair on both sides, but yeah, I mean, when you hear it, it's like, well, yeah, that totally makes sense. Could you not have tweeted that out a couple of days ago, or just, you know, called someone and just
sure
let him know?
He was asked about it on Wednesday night.
Well, no, they didn't. So after Wednesday night's game, he did his post-game normal.
Was he not asked?
And he was asked, and he said, we have a couple of discussions, and we'll let you know about the pitching probables. And then the PR staff, like, sent out an email and said, here's the pitching probables for the series, and no one got to talk to Mike Shildt again, and it was Vasquez, Perez, and TBA. And so since Wednesday night, when they made that announcement for the last, 34 hours, everyone's been going, what does that mean for Michael King? Why is he not starting? What's going on?
Sure.
And, had it happened, in his last start and he had not pitched, probably it would have been pretty obvious. But because he went out and pitched so effectively his last couple of times, or his last time, you just don't think about it. Well, but obviously it happened. We all saw it happen. No big shocker there. So I understand that. All right. Thank you for the call, Matt, and the question for the big breaking news. If you want to simply spare me from some talking, you can join us, 833-288-0973. I know Ben's like spares me from about 3 to 4 minutes of talking at this point. So we can get to
we'll get to some likes.
Coming up in our next segment. Ben Woods on San Diego's number one sports station, 97.3 The Fan. All right, Andy Nelson coming up at the top of the hour, and Craig texted me. He's absolutely right. It was his last start that he got hit by the line drive. It feels, with all the off days, it feels like it was longer ago. And Jeffrey in the chat says, yeah, with the trade deadline and sweeping the Dodgers, in reality, it wasn't even 7 days ago that Michael King took the 109-mile-an-hour line. And it was the first batter of the game, right? And then he stayed in and pitched the whole game after that. So it makes it feel like it was longer ago. But it actually did happen. Craig and Annie can react to that coming up on Annie and Elston in just about 25 minutes. Still have things Ben likes coming up. And we do have some callers on the line. As much as Paulie doesn't want to
keep trying, aren't you?
As much as Paulie doesn't want to do it, I'm ready to do it at this point. And I see some good names on here. So shout out to Jeffrey and Harry and Mike. You're next up here after a check of traffic here on 97.3 The Fan.
Okay.
All right, Padres Rockies tonight, 6:40, normal start time. Sammy with his EcoWater SoCal pregame show at 5:40. But until then, talking about what you want to talk about, I see Jeffrey on the line. Jeffrey, welcome to Ben and Paul here on a Friday.
Please tell me it's this Jeffrey with a G.
Yes, Jeffrey with a G-E-O-F-F-R-E-Y.
Well, I will get you off the hook and talk for a while, if I may, because I was in Baltimore this past weekend for all three games, and I met some very informative Jackson Merrill fans, several of whom went to high school with him, and they shared photos and stories of Jackson with me, and they said that when he was a senior, there would be like 50 scouts coming to scout him, and then they had classmates who were, they would form these giant groups to watch the scouts watch Jackson. So the hype in, I can't remember where he grew up, it's near Baltimore, but the amount of Jackson Merrill fans that were at all three of those games was unreal. In fact, on the Sunday game, I sat in front of little kids who went to his elementary school. He's that popular that they traveled all the way and they had little cutout heads of Jackson Merrill. They were freaking out every time he was doing something, and just the amount of fans in Baltimore for Jackson Merrill, you would think that when he got a hit, they were cheering for like a home player, like Gunnar Henderson or something, or Adley Rutschman. But it was incredible how much they love Jackson Merrill over there, and it just made me feel really good that to hear they were like, this kid's rookie of the year in our opinion. He's the next big thing. And you guys, we love watching him, and he's the only player we care about, even though we're O's fans. We root for Jackson Merrill 100% of the time.
He obviously, Jeff, has a good support system with the parents who are traveling. And
they were interviewing his parents. His mom said there was like
they've interviewed Jackson's parents? Really?
Yeah.
They were.
Yeah.
Shocking.
I know. Which time? I don't know. In Baltimore. She said there was like a couple hundred people that traveled for those games.
Well, they've distributed all the Merrill Madness t-shirts. I mean, I even wear mine. I mean, they've gotten those things out everywhere. There is a Merrill machine that is going on, and it takes a village, to raise a Major League Baseball player, especially one, obviously, that has been as driven and focused as Jackson Merrill is. You don't do that without support of parents and friends and coaches and teammates. I mean, it's been an effort, but I mean, the results have been unbelievable with Jackson Merrill. To get to where he is at this young age, it's incredible.
Did you see when his mom was being interviewed during the game, they interviewed his parents during the game. did you? She talked about Merrill Madness and how
I did not see this.
It's more of a charitable aspect to it.
Oh, really?
Which I had no idea. I thought it was just a fun family
hype.
Hashtag.
I thought it was just hype. Yeah.
And that's how it started, but it became this way to raise money for kids to play travel ball or play sports, like, because that's all he did growing up was play, wanted to play baseball, wanted to be on this team or this select team, and you needed this equipment and all that. I believe that's what she said, and I thought, huh. So it wasn't just like a catchy hashtag that they came up with. That's how it began, but there has been more of a charitable aspect.
Well, really, yeah, cool. And Elisa in the chat says, yeah, they used it to help fund travel ball, which is really expensive. Now, remember, his travel ball team was based in North Carolina.
Yeah.
And he lives in Maryland.
I played travel ball in Seattle when I was in high school. Yeah. A kid from Alaska that came down to play with us. Like,
I mean,
it was crazy.
You know, it's not just traveling to the tournaments, but sometimes you got to travel to the home games and practices and everything that goes along with that. And, you know, living probably in hotels during the summer while you're, you know, with your team and you're not in school, you know, the commitment required to become a professional athlete is not just the that internal dedication to waking up early and working out and going to the cages and doing everything. It's a financial, you know, commitment nowadays. It's very hard. And, you know, it's not necessarily a great thing, but it's very hard if you don't have resources to be able to put in, to get the coaching, to get the equipment.
It's very expensive.
To get the competition that you would need to get to the level that you're going to get noticed by scouts, whether it's for college or for to be drafted. Unfortunately, it takes a lot of money. And there are some good people out there who try to, you know, provide opportunities for those who are disadvantaged and don't have that, but obviously have the passion and have the raw talent to do that. But how many get, you know, fall through the cracks because they just didn't have that chance? They didn't have a great support system like Jackson Merrill's, but his support system has come through for him and really, you know, sent him to an amazing place at an incredibly young age with an incredibly good head on his shoulders.
I was just going to say, he's got a very good head on his shoulders. You could tell he was raised right. His family seems just lovely. I love everything about this kid. He's the real deal.
I mean, you keep waiting. Okay, you're going to make a misstep here at some point, right? I mean, not one. And we've seen young guys come up, you know, Matt Bush, who step in it right away, that, you know, just the signing and having money and whatever for the first time, and they go off the rails. And it's understandable.
I was going to say,
really,
you expect you understand it.
And even for rookies who get it, like Jackson, you expect, oh, he's going to say the wrong thing to the media at some point. You know, there's going to be some sort of run-in. Literally, nothing you can say bad about Jackson Merrill at this point in his career. Nothing.
Yeah.
Even when he gets in a slump, he doesn't show frustration. He's just like, nope, I'm going to break right out of it. I mean, the kid has an unbelievable attitude. He really does. And it served him incredibly well.
I'm
Jeff Geoff with a G, thank you for the call. Thank you for being in the chat regularly. The chat loves to hear from you. Let's go to Harry. You are next up here with Ben and Paul on 97.3 The Fan. Hi, Harry.
Hi, good morning, guys.
Morning.
I want to change the subject a little bit and talk about the people we normally talk about firing this time of year. Victor Rodriguez is an MVP for the culture he's built with the hitting and how quickly he's changing these slumps. These slumps are short-lived because of him, I believe.
I am normally the kind of guy who goes, we have put way too much blame on the hitting coaches for something that is not their fault.
They get all the blame and very little of the praise.
So why, if I haven't been blaming the hitting coaches, should I really give a ton of credit to the hitting coach this time? It's always on the players more than the coaches in my mind, especially on the big league level in professional baseball. However, Harry, there's clearly a philosophy. And whether it's a Shilt or a Victor Rodriguez or an A.J. Preller or an organizational change, there's been a philosophy that has been very effective for the Padres this year. And Victor Rodriguez talks about it. You know, we want to hit line drives. We want to use our ballpark. We're not swinging for the fences. We're trying to make contact. We're trying not to strike out. And it really goes against what a lot of other organizations are going. They want a walk or a home run, and they'll take a ton of strikeouts to do it. But the Padres are like, no, we want to put the ball in play, and we want We'll take some bloop hits. We'll take some line drive outs. We know it's all part of the equation. Hopefully we run into a few, and they have. The Padres are 12th in home runs in baseball, which doesn't sound great. It sounds middle of the pack. But when you think about the fact that...
Sounds better than when they've been in the past.
But when you think about it from the perspective of they're also near the bottom in strikeouts and the top in batting average, to combine that with being 12th in home runs, all of a sudden you have a really, really good offense. Like Luis Arraez, he's never going to be at the top in home runs. He's not going to be middle of the pack in home runs because he hits so many, you know, his line drives the way he plays. But as a team, the Padres are more Luis Arraez in terms of batting average, best batting average in baseball. But in power, they're really solid. They're still in the upper half of baseball when it comes to power. That's a devastating combination that they have managed to put together this year. Now, why they couldn't do it in other years, I've got no idea. This isn't the first...
The pitching coaches, or the hitting coaches' fault.
But this isn't the first time I've heard a hitting coach at Petco Park say, hey, you know, it's a big ballpark. We need to hit more line drives. We need to use the gaps. I've heard that for 20 years since Petco Park opened. And rarely have the Padres been able to accomplish it. So, yes, Victor Rodriguez, there's some credit that needs to be offered to a Padres hitting coach. For the first time in a long time, he does deserve. You're absolutely right. Good call there. And then, Mike, you can wrap it up here for us today. You got about a minute. What's on your mind, Mike?
Damn, I was going to go three topics. But, hey, I want you guys to take full credit for this. I picture you and Woodsy for COVID in the your parents' house, correct?
Corona Cave, in the guest house, yep.
Okay, how in the hell does Dylan Cease and Joe Musgrove not have a podcast called No Podcast?
That's a great idea. I mean, did you see that?
I want you guys to have full credit.
Yeah, no. Well, first of all, did you see Dylan Cease's shirt that he was wearing yesterday? The San Diego No Club, and in the O's is his face and Joe's face. Someone made that already. It's amazing. Good job to whoever did that. Did you see that the Kelce brothers, who started their podcast, what's it called? It's got a weird name.
New Heights.
New Heights. That sounds like a real estate podcast or development. They want to sell it for like $100 million or something. Something crazy. Like,
probably going to get it.
And they're probably going to get it. Yeah. Joe and Dylan, you're missing out on a great opportunity here of starting your No podcast at Joe's house. Talking pitching. I mean, I don't know that I want them to be the Kelce brothers of the NFL. But if they wanted to, I mean, with Dylan's kind of thoughtfulness and Joe's intensity, and I mean, I would definitely listen to the Dylan and Joe No podcast.
They only interview no pitchers who have thrown no hitters. I mean,
Bud Smith,
right there, you guys.
Bud Smith is our guest today. He threw a no hitter against the Padres about 24 years ago, and we're going to catch up and see where he is today. That's it for us, except for some likes to finish our week. Good week, Paulie.
Very good week.
Yeah,
that was a fun freaking week.
It was a pretty fun week that was
tiring.
Missed out on.
We had some dramatic games with the trade deadline. Everybody just pulling a little extra weight with Woodsy gone, but man, I had fun this week.
And guess what? He'll still be gone on Monday and Tuesday.
Oh,
so let's hear some likes before we go.
I like good, juicy, sweet strawberries.
I like a good marching band. I like a good, thin pancake.
I like a Nickelback song or two.
I like a barbecue chicken pizza. I really like those seeds. I like a midnight buffet. I kind of like the smell of soft scrub. I like more of a small derriere. I like cake.
I like Ed Sheeran.
I like both a hamburger and a cheeseburger. I like clocks. I like how I've kind of set up my life. I like grasshopper pie.
Oh, no, I like it creamy.
I like good, firm banana. I like just looking out at the sea. I like eating.
I like moist.
I like curry.
I like big butts.
I like fried Brussels sprouts. I like more of a firm filling. I like corn.
I like Nordstrom. I do like musicals.
I like pepperoni. I like nice hotels. I like Nick getting a start today. I like nuts. I like Steph Curry. I like that song.
I like Squirt.
I like sake. I like San Diego State.
I like straight Paula Abdul.
I like the beef and broccoli. I like to mix it up. I like science experiments. I like that song. I like the crispiness of the waffle. I really like cheese. I like the little lunch meat. I like very straight lines. I like cannelloni. I like a well-crafted headline. I like brown sugar. I like maps. I'll say I like Justin Turner.
I like going to golf games. I like diving into chores.
I like sugar.
I do like Butterfinger.
I like blue and silver, not bad colors. I like the time change. I like Major League Baseball's new rule. I like the radio. I like geography. I like the knuckle method. I like Skippy. And I like pie. And I like Bob Melvin. I really do. I like Jace Tingler, too. I like this day. I like being right. I still do like movie scores. I like good food. I like maps. Right. I like when interviews can turn into organic conversation. I do like a Stouffer's French bread pizza. I like having the wind go through my hair. I think I like shows that the characters have an arc. I like the full lettuce, tomato, onion experience as well. I like those kind of burgers. I like the big overflowing bag of fries. I like those little Smarties rolls. I liked what I saw from Seth Lugo. I liked his competitive fire. I like walking around between the different lands. Steve Kerr, though, I like that. I like living on the coast. I like watching Tiger still. I like the idea of that matchup. I liked what I saw in the preseason. I like the aloneness sometimes of Texas Hold'em. I like watching San Diego State basketball. I like those cashew-buttered cashews. I like cold, clear sake. I like a lot of things. I like Chick-fil-A sauce. I just like rankings. I like Steve Winwood. I like Pie Gal Poker. I like to be informed on subjects. I like Chicago. I like Tom Petty. I like the idea of another left-handed bat in the lineup for sure. I do like a good Matt Damon film. I like being on the same page. I like broccoli. I like Brussels sprouts. I like a lot of things. I like this shirt. I like Wipeout. I liked my omelet. I like San Diego State at home. I like when a baseball player can be more than just a baseball player. I like vanilla. I like the atmosphere. I like the felt on a poker table. Just kind of how it feels under your fingers when you're there. I like rhubarb pie. I like the window seat. Changing the subject. I like that. I like just the standard yellow peep. I like how San Diego State's playing right now. I like finer things. I like calling a game. I like fiction more than nonfiction. I just like the cream. I actually like playing golf with other people. I've liked everything I've seen so far from Mike Schill. I like Mexican food. I like just the solar system. I do like steak. I like specifics. I like going to 7 Mile Casino during the day. I like that people are there having a good time. I like my new eating schedule. I liked what I was eating. Yeah, I like the variety of the menu at Sammy's. I do like a good midnight buffet. And now that we've learned about the Italian gymnast who's sponsored by Parmesan cheese, Pauly, I feel like this has opened the door. All of Ben's likes could just be sponsors of the show.
Oh, you'd be rolling
Ben it. Ben and Woods, brought to you by Cashew Butter Cashews.
There's always a new...
Ben and Woods, brought to you by Cake.
We've been collecting Ben likes for a little while now, and we've been playing that most, not all, but most Fridays. There's still always one or two that make me laugh or stand out to me. And you saying, I like blue and silver, they're not bad colors. Kills me every time. Like, what is a bad color?
I do like a good Matt Damon film.
He's got a new one.
This segment on 97.3 The Fan is brought to you by Grasshopper Pie. Because we can be sponsored by food items now. It's the revelation of the Olympics that it's there. All right, we are done for today. We will take 2 days off, and then we'll be back without Woodsy on Monday and Tuesday, and then he'll be back on Wednesday to tell us all about his vacation, and we'll probably make fun of him for everything he's missed. Hopefully the Padres have a good weekend against the Rockies, and we'll talk about it Monday morning at 6 a.m., Annie, Elston, Braden, ready to come up next. Pauly, good work this week.
Good work,
outstanding,
my
sir.
That was fun.
Executive producer, imaging director, co-host Paul Reindl. I'm Ben Higgins. Have a great rest of your Friday. From all of us here at San Diego's number one sports station, 97.3 The Fan. So long.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance, too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Hey, Mike Valeni here, host of Cash the Ticket alongside my partner, Jim Costa. It's really simple. Are you tired of podcasts claiming they're a bunch of pro bettors when they live in their mommy's basement? Are you tired of podcasts that claim they hit 80% of the games when really they just lose like most of us? Then Cash the Ticket's the spot for you. We're real. We're transparent. We're having a hell of a good time with it. And we sit there and we're there for the sweat with you guys. We're just trying to figure it out just like you. Follow and listen to Cash the Ticket on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.